Next slide, please, guys. Final thing. So a new thing that God is doing in Christ for a new era. Okay? So we've got all the Old Testament era, and we can break that down into different categories and events and so on and so forth, different eras. But often what we do is when it comes to the Gospels, we say that that's the New Testament, which in one sense it is. But until we get to a certain point in Jesus, we understand that actually John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Covenant. Amen? He was the last prophet, but is recorded in the New Testament. And so when the disciples begin to get around Jesus and they're undergoing their training, because he's going to pass it on to them, the ministry on to them when he ascends into heaven, as we've already discovered in Acts chapter 1, we see that they're empowered at different times, but in the Old Testament kind of sense, where people were empowered for a particular time in a particular way to fulfill a particular task. Bit of a mouthful, isn't it? So what used to happen was the Lord would empower certain people in that different era before Acts 2 verses 1 to 4, just for particular times and particular tasks to achieve particular things. And so as we move into the time of Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, Peter clearly indicates in his sermon that follows the empowering and the filling that something new has taken place. Amen? And so when we think back to John and Jesus breathing on them, receive the Holy Spirit, I would put it under the category of they've been given for a particular time, a particular task. Amen? Up until Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, to be precise. And so, having the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and preaches to the crowd. And as part of what he says from the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, he says this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Everybody say together, all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, let's say that together, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. And so they're filled with the Holy Spirit in the room. The wind and the fire and the tongues, etc., different languages, as they're gathered together, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. People around them begin to accuse them of being drunk, so don't take any notice of them, they're just drunk. And then Peter gets up and preaches to thousands of people that have gathered in Jerusalem at that time for festivals. And this is what he says. He says, we're not drunk. Essentially, this is what he says, paraphrasing. We're not drunk. Actually, this is what Joel was saying would happen in chapter 2 of his prophecy that we have recorded in the Old Testament. That actually the Lord, in Christ, in giving his Holy Spirit, we've now entered into a new era where all people, not just a particular person for a particular task at a particular time, but where all people who come to Christ can receive a spiritual baptism of power. Amen? All people. If you've come to the cross believing in Christ and you've gone out the other side, you have the Holy Spirit and you can have the power and you can use the power as we make disciples, baptize and teach. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it is available to all people. And of course, this is going back to Genesis, Tower of Babel and all of that, bringing people back in unity in Christ. One people, one language in Christ, as it were, unity. There's lots of stuff going on the day of Pentecost. And there's loads of examples. Next slide, please, guys. Loads of examples from Scripture. I'm not going to go through them all. That's come out a bit dodgy. It should be up a bit. There's a much longer list. But there's a few examples there, especially from the Old Testament, of people who were given the Holy Spirit, but only for a period of time to achieve something in particular for God. Okay? By the time we get to the New Testament, we're still seeing this. The early chapters of Luke from 1 to 4, he is big on people receiving the Holy Spirit for a particular task at a particular time. Mary received, in order to receive Jesus without any human intervention in the womb to give birth to him, she received the power of the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Spirit. Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, was filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist, even in the womb, the Scripture says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Luke was big on this. But by the time we get to Acts chapter 2, a new thing in Christ Jesus. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And nothing to do with gender there as well. Men and women, amen? Men and women. There is no hierarchy of gender to receive the Holy Spirit. We can all have it. The only prerequisite to having the Spirit and His power is first coming and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you believe that you have the Holy Spirit today. I wonder if you know the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, let me just clarify something. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just evident in speaking in tongues and interpretation. It is not just evident in laying hands on somebody and somebody is healed. It is not just evident in a moment of boldness and courage empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach to a crowd of people, but it is also evident when you begin to display the characteristics and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The power of the Spirit is also about our transformation into the likeness of Christ. Amen? And so when we're struggling with sin, the whole point is, and the big difference before we believed in Christ, is that we now have the Holy Spirit to help us with the temptation, to help us overcome what we're dealing with that is offensive to God, and we can come out the other side and even more. Amen? So it is not just about the fancy things that people like to talk about. It is also about our character development, looking more like Jesus because the Spirit is transforming us. Amen? And so the Spirit lives in us. He takes residence in us, Romans 8. Our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6. We are sealed after our believing in Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1. And the church, the community of believers, according to Ephesians 2:22, are being spiritually built together as a home for the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be built together to be the home of anything other than the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is what we want. That is what we want. Not our own opinions, not our own ways, His leadership, His guidance. That is what we want. And so just pop up the orange slide, please, guys. So this is the third week that we've done this now. So the emphasis of this is that we have heard some stuff this morning from the Scripture. But we must respond to what we hear from the Word. Whether that's in your own time at home or in a study group or a prayer group, whatever context, or whether you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, the purpose of the preaching is not just to be heard, amen? It's not just for you to sit and listen to a few words and then go away and do nothing with it. The purpose of you gathering together in a Bible study group is not just to fill your head with knowledge, But it is to take in that knowledge, work out what it is the Spirit wants you to do with it, and then go and put it into practice. Amen? Otherwise, it's a lost cause. Because the nature of discipleship is that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And if we're not doing, then we've got a big problem. So our discipleship response, I want you to just begin to pray from wherever you are now. So anything you're holding, put it down. If you want to close your eyes and bow your head, that's completely up to you. But I just want you to begin to just pray for the Lord God to show you how you should respond to the word today. So we've heard about if we've come in Christ, we all have this moment that we should be having of a spiritual baptism of power. And we should be giving out that power. But as we give out, we should be being filled afresh as we seek it from the Lord. We should be experiencing the leadership and the guidance of the still small voice of the Spirit, or by places that He's leading us to in His Word. And we understand from the Scripture that this is, even just having the presence of the Spirit of God in us, having believed in Christ, as a mark of ownership of God upon our lives. That is available to us in Christ. And the power that comes from the residing Holy Spirit within us is available to us, but only in Christ. And very significantly, even as I look around the room, we are reminded that the church here is 25 different nations in the congregation, male and female, from under 1 year old to over 80 years old. So we are reminded just by looking around the room that it is for all people. And so just pray for the Lord God to show you how you should respond to the word today. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something in particular? And then you've got the three things that come after that that might help you with that question. I want to share a couple of testimonies from since we've been doing this, that even just last week, one of our young people who did this reflection at the end of the sermon came to me afterwards and said, "The Lord has been telling me for a while that I need to start sharing my faith in the workplace. He's in a new workplace and he's feels like the Lord is telling him to share his faith." He said, "But can you help me with how I might do that?" And so the Lord has been telling him for a while, and then when we did this discipleship response last week, he was prompted again, as though the Spirit had been just gently nudging him before, but this time it was a bit more of a nasty poke, as it were. He felt it. So he came and we spent some time together showing him how he might share in the workplace. And so we're understanding that people are being prompted during these response times. Not everything needs to be shared, of course. And the last question at the bottom, how will you obey today's passage and the prompt you have had from the Holy Spirit? And as I've said before, your response of obedience to the passage doesn't need to be something major. Doesn't need to be something flashy. It could be something major, but it doesn't need to be. Last week I gave an example, having preached about the return of Christ, that maybe it might be that part of your obedience is that when you feel fearful about the future, you're just going to simply remind yourself and say, "Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back." So Holy Spirit, we trust that you are moving, we trust that you are speaking, we trust that you are leading, we trust that you are guiding. And then just the last slide, please, guys. And then something else that we've been doing for 3 weeks now. It's an encouragement. We can't really allow people to go without being given an opportunity. So we're asking the question, is Jesus Christ your Savior, Lord, and King? And we're asking that because often it's easy to have Jesus as your Savior. You know, I'm saved, now I'll just wait till I get to heaven. But actually to have Jesus as your Lord and your King, where you have surrendered every single aspect of your life to Him, then we're not really truly doing discipleship. He wants to be your Savior if you don't yet already know Him as your Savior, but He also wants to be your Lord and your King. And you'll see the tract on there. This is one of the tracts that we use when we go out onto the streets. Really easy to remember, really easy to explain. And what it is the love heart, is that God loves you. Christ died for you whilst you were still a sinner. That's the extent of His love. That you didn't need to be perfect before you come to Him. So God loves you as whatever condition you're in now, He loves you. But the fact is that we are sinners who are separated from Him, and we need to find a way back. Because the things that we think and say and do that are offensive to Him separate us from Him. And we cannot do anything of our own accord to bring ourselves back across the divide. But that's why the cross is there. Because Jesus, who became God in the flesh, who lived like us, who was tempted like us, yet lived a perfect life to become the perfect, acceptable sacrifice before God, went to the cross, was nailed to it, died there. When He died, Peter tells us that our sin was placed into His body. He bore our sins. And so when He died, so did our sin. And so if we come to Him, we can receive forgiveness. We can receive wholeness. We can have peace with the one true living God and look to live on in life with Him. But the question mark is there because essentially we have to make a decision. And so is Jesus Christ your Savior, Lord, and King? So I want to give an opportunity this morning that if you want to make Jesus any of those things this morning, that you would just walk down and come and stand at the front of the church. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior who died for you and rose again, come and stand at the front of the church. And we'll speak to you, we'll pray for you. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and King, again, come and stand down at the front of the church. And the reason for this is that Jesus says that if you deny me before others, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so if you can't stand for Him here, it's very unlikely you'll stand for Him out there. So we'll just give a few moments, just for anybody that wants to come forward. And then we're going to share in communion. If your palms are sweating and your knees are trembling, that's a good sign that you should come forwards. wonder if somebody wants to just tell the children to come back, but very quietly. If you tell them to come back, but quietly. So my assumption is that we have a room full of people who know Jesus as Saviour and Lord and King, which is fantastic, amen? But what it also means is that we want to be going out and bringing in those who do not yet know him as those three things, amen? And it also means that if all of those things are true, we will begin to see more people sharing their faith in everyday life. We'll begin to see the offering skyrocketing because he'll be Lord of our finances, amen. We'll begin to hear great testimonies of people sharing faith, of great character transformation, and all of those different things because he's Savior, Lord, and King, amen. And so the children are going to come in quietly. So I wonder if I could have four, maybe five deacons, church members, just to come down to the front, please. So if we have five, then somebody can go upstairs as well. And so if you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you're invited to share communion with us this morning. He gave us the very simple elements of bread and wine. This is non-alcoholic juice, by the way. To remember something in particular. He told us and commanded us to remember his death, but we are also at the same time to look forwards to his coming again. So we understand that this is an act of remembrance, but it is also a prophetic act because we're looking forward to a day when he comes and makes all things new. Amen. And so as you receive of the bread, please eat it. And as you receive the wine, just hold on to it and we'll drink together at the end. Praise the Lord. I'll give that to Adrian, sorry. So you just start on different sides. You want to run up first? Run upstairs first? Okay. Take that with you. Run upstairs first. You start downstairs. If you start downstairs on that side, got a system going. Praise the Lord. So parents, if you have children or young people in the room that have just returned, you know where they're at. And so please just manage that accordingly. And so as we are going through this morning, I just want to invite you now just to begin to reflect, begin to have a conversation with your Father in heaven. A good thing to do during communion might be to say the Lord's Prayer if you can. Because what we're dealing with before we receive the bread and the wine is anything in our lives that we know is wrong, that shouldn't be there, that is offensive to the Lord. So it's an opportunity for repentance, receiving forgiveness, reflecting on the death of Christ and everything that that means to us, and then going away from this place with great intentionality to please the Lord God. Not that we won't make mistakes, because we will, but at least to be intentional, amen? So just begin a conversation with Him, seeking His forgiveness, giving Him praise. And so let us drink together in remembrance of His death, yet looking forwards to His coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got a song? So I just take this opportunity, if you're new here today, and you want to find out a bit more about the church, then you can fill out one of these Connect cards. You'll find them in the Connect area out there, big yellow sign on the wall. And all you do is put your details on the back. There should be some pens there as well. Details on the back, fold it up, and then just pop it in the box on the table, and somebody will collect it after the service, and we'll be in touch over the course of this week. And so to finish, we're going to be led in some sung worship. don't we just hold our hands out as though we're going to receive something this morning? Father, we thank you that you gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to the earth as God in the flesh. We thank you that he ministered, he lived like us, he was perfect, he died for us, he was buried for us, he was risen again for us. He appeared, he ascended, he is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he will come again. And so, Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have because you gave your one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And Jesus, we thank you that as we heard about last week, that as you ascended into heaven and you were seated at the right-hand side of the Father, in the ultimate place of power and authority over the whole universe, that you sent the Holy Spirit, that you gave us the free gift of Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus, we say thank you this morning. And we ask, Holy Spirit, now that you would fill every person afresh in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we say we receive from you right now in this moment. Fill us afresh that we might go again over the course of this week. Fill us afresh that we might share our faith with those around us in our spheres of influence, Lord God. Fill us afresh, Lord, that we might have great boldness and courage to speak the name of Jesus. Fill us afresh, Lord God, that you might help us with those things that we're struggling with by your power, and that we might be overcomers and conquerors in Jesus. Lord, we ask, O Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us afresh, that our minds would be renewed, that we would be transformed, that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Holy Spirit, we pray, come, and where there has not yet been a baptism of power, we pray, Lord, that you would baptize with power even today, Lord God, over the coming weeks and months and years in this church. Baptize with power. And Holy Spirit, we ask now, as you are the living water, as you are the stream that flows to us from God, we ask, Lord, that where there are boulders in the stream, whether they are people or things or ways of doing things, we pray, Lord, that you would remove them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that in this church we want the fullness of the flow of your Spirit. We want the fullness of the filling and the baptizing and the clothing and the permeating and the infusing and the impregnating, Lord God, and the soaking wet of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we say, let it be. Let it be, let it be for your glory and your glory alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, who is our Savior and our Lord and our King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. In the back, there's tea, coffee, biscuits, so on and so forth. Opportunity for conversation. So please do gather for that if you can. Otherwise, be blessed for the course of this week.